శ్రీ గణేశాయ నమః శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. సి ఐ ఫీల్ లిమిటెడ్, ఈజ్ ఇట్ రియల్ ఆర్ ఈజ్ ఇట్ డ్యూ టు అధ్యాస? ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రియల్ దెన్ ఐఎమ్ ఎ లిమిటెడ్ బీయింగ్ అండ్ ఐ విల్ ఫర్ ఎవర్ రిమైన్ ఎ లిమిటెడ్ బీయింగ్ and I can only be a devotee to Ishvara, nothing more than that. I could become a denizen of the heaven also, but nothing more than that. But suppose I am, this limitedness is not intrinsic to I. The limitedness of the body is taken to be that of I. That is dharmadhyasa. Right? If that is the situation, then I have to only know that I am not limited. And the experience of limitedness is due to adhyasa only. So I have to eliminate adhyasa. Then the possible, then I will become liberated. That brings freedom immediately. Similarly, I feel I was born and therefore I live in the fear of death. Now, I am born, I feel that I am born because I take myself to be the body. If there is no adhyasa and if I am the body, then my birth is real and my death is real, and therefore fear is also justified and it will be there. You may forget it temporarily, you can devise methods of forgetting the fear of death, but death will be there and eventually one has to suffer due to fear of the death. But suppose the fear of death is due to adhyasa, that means I take myself to be the body and I attribute, I impute the attributes of the body to I due to an adhyasa. If you can call it arthadhyasa, there is arthadhyasa. I is taken to be the body is taken to be the I in both directions. That is arthadhyasa. The birth and death are the dharma of the body, mistakenly taken as the dharma or attribute of I. That is dharmadhyasa. And the no, the idea of I, the I self-evident I, and the idea of a body. Body is a deha jnana. So between them there is a confusion, and that is jnana adhyasa. Therefore all these adhyasas are there in our life. They cause the bondage. And as you free yourself from these adhyasas, from these mix-ups, you get freedom from the bondage. So that is how we present. So for a dualist, this is not acceptable. For a religionist or a dualist, you are indeed limited. Not because you, because of adhyasa you are limited. No, you are indeed limited. There is birth for you. If you go and ask a person, suppose you go and ask this person, who is this? The people who do, the marg person, or they do the big business. You go and ask him, is there death or not? He will tell there is death. What else he will tell? So similarly, if you ask a jewelist, then jewelist means Ishvara and Jiva are different. He will say, Jiva dies here and takes birth elsewhere. So birth is real, death is real, rebirth is real, everything is real. So therefore there is no adhyasa. If adhyasa is there, you cannot say it is real. So these are the issues involved. And now what we are, so we are, okay, is that all right? So because we are taking the Puropaksha, in Puropaksha, it is the dualist's Puropaksha, Advaitin's Puropaksha, and therefore there is no scope for adhyasa. That is how he says. And adhyasa is not possible. Why there is no adhyasa? It must be possible, you know, there must be even a remote possibility of that kind of a mix-up, then it can be there in one's life. You can say it is there. It is possible it is there. So we say it is just not possible. And therefore, adhyasa is not the issue at all. There is no adhyasa. Ityataha asmat pratyaya vachare, etc. So adhyasa is not there. That is the purpaksha. In the Siddhanta, we proceed like this. You see, there is ajnana in life. Ignorance is there. And this ignorance manifests always in the form of superimposition of the real on the unreal and vice versa. There are various mistakes in different areas of life. But those mistakes, they are not that much harmful. You make a mistake and you pay a small price for it, it is gone and you understand the mistake and you don't repeat it again. We learn from mistakes. That is how life goes on. So that is not the problem. But in Vedanta, we analyze the most fundamental mistake. That is the mistake of adhyasa. Adhyasa is a mistake, mistaking one for the other. So the mistaking of atma for the anatma and anatma for the atma, both directions. Mistaking the attributes of atma and anatma one for the other. So this kind of both mistakes, arthadhyasa mistake and dharmadhyasa mistake. So jnanadhyasa and arthadhyasa are similar things. So both mistakes are there in our lives. And we pay a very heavy price because of these adhyasas only. And you see, it is true, the mistake is impossible. It is logically not possible, but still it is there. We understand that Vishaya and Vishayi are diametrically opposite in their nature. For example, Vishaya, object, is always prakashya, means it is illuminated. Whereas Vishayi is always prakashaka, one which illuminates. Vishaya is always drishya, Vishayi drashta. Vishaya aneka, many. Whereas Vishayi eka. So the objects are many, but the seer of many objects is not many, is one. So, eka, vishaya anitya, whereas vishayi nitya. I see the part gets broken, but the one who knows the part, he doesn't get broken, he continues to live. No, no, he dies and takes birth elsewhere. There is reincarnation is there. Therefore, he won't die. The body dies, but he goes elsewhere. Therefore, the vishayi is nitya. Whereas Vishaya is anitya. Then Vishaya is jada, insentient. Vishayi is chetana, sentient. Therefore, because of so much of our exclusivity or opposition, it is true that adhyasa is logically not possible. Rationally, adhyasa should not be there, rationally speaking. But life does not go by logic or rationale. Life's experiences are indeed far removed from rationale and logic. There is no logic in life. What kind of logic is there? So life is different. In life there is adhyasa. So that is how Shankara is going to answer the Paramaksha. Shankara is not going to say adhyasa is a logical possibility. He doesn't say that. He continues to accept. That's why he says tathapi. He doesn't say na, tathapi, yet. Yet means what? He accepts certain aspects of the Paramaksha. Yes, God bless you are right. Logically, there should be no confusion. Adhyasa is confusion. So logically, there should be no confusion between the Atma and Anatma. But life is not lived by logic. Life's experiences, they betray so much of adhyasa at every step of life. Adhyasaha asti, there is adhyasa. So tathapi, so anyonyasmin anyonyatmakatam. On one, the other, the adhyasa is there. Anyonyasmin. Atma and anatma. Atma is anya. Anatma is anya. The other and the other. This is other with reference to that. That is other with reference to this. That is anya. Anya, anya. And so, anya is atma. Anya means other. Anya is atma. Anya is anatma. Anyonyasmin anyonyatma katam. So, on atma, you superimpose anatma. On anatma, you superimpose atma. That kind of adhyasa asti. How? I tell you how. I am tall. I say I am tall. When I say I am tall, I am superimposing the body and the Atma. Right? Tall is the, it is the body which is tall, and that is superimposed on I. That is, otherwise you can call it dharmadhyasa. Tallness is the attribute of the body, whereas I impute that attribute of the body to I. That is adhyasa. Because deha is anatma, it is vishayi, sorry, it is vishaya, it is drishya. It is never the atma or the vishayi. It is always the seen, but its property, so you should say, I am seeing the tallness of the body. That is what you should say. I can see that the body is tall. Instead of saying that, you say, I am tall. Therefore, dharmadhyasa is there. Not only dharmadhyasa, there is arthadhyasa also. Like, I was born on so-and-so date. There is arthadhyasa. Otherwise, generally, we are going to say this. Generally, nobody says, aham dehaha, I am the body. Nobody says. But he conducts the entire life as though he is the body. Therefore, there is arthadhyasa. Then there is adhyasa in the reverse direction also. For example, the body knows. Will you say that or not? When a fly sits on the body cognizes. Now, this cognition, the cognizing is Atma. And now that you are imputing to the body. Therefore, anyonyasmin, anyonyatmakatam. So that kind of adhyasa is there. Anyonyasmin, anyonyatmakatam. Then, what else? Anyonya dharmavasya adhyasya. So, you superimpose the other on the other, and vice versa. Not only that, you superimpose the attributes of the one on the other, and you confuse the attributes of one with the other. So the Atma Dharma is Chaitanyam. The awareness is the essential quality of Atma. That we attach it to the body. It is not always with the body. I will show you adhyasa in how many areas it is there. So, among the attributes of Atma and Anatma, there is a free adhyasa from this side to that side and that side to this side. Why there is this kind of adhyasa? Itare tara avivekena. There is that aviveka, the lack of discrimination between the one and the other. Itare tara. That is Sanskrit usage, anyonya or itaretara. Itara is Atma, itara is Anatma. One is Atma, the other is Anatma. Between them, there is clearly the lack of discernment, discrimination. Therefore, there is adhyasa. You see, I tell you how. Do you have this experience or not? Aham ajnaha, I am ignorant. That experience you have or not? You have that experience. Now, Atma is all knowledge. And Ajnanam is the attribute of a Jadavastu, an insentient object, like a pot, etc. That is Jada. Jada is Ajnana. It doesn't know itself and it doesn't know anything else. Therefore, Atma being the knowledge itself, the Jadatvam means the insentientness or insentient nature of the Anatma is attributed to Atma. It's superimposed on Atma. Then, you see, Atma is Sakala Drishya Sakshi. It is the witnessing awareness with reference to all the objects of this universe. Sakala Drishya Sakshi. Now, Atma is the Sakshi with reference to the body. Yet, there is adhyasa between Atma and the body. Therefore, there is Deha Dharmas. Atma is a Deha Sakshi, that is the truth. But Deha Dharma Adhyasa, the birth and death, they are there. They are superimposed on Atma. Then, Atma is a Desha Sakshi. Atma is a Desha Sakshi. You see, I tell you how. I am here. And here is a place. There is another place. here and there. These are two points in space. Now I know space. I am the sakshi to desha. Desha is a space. And I know here in space. I know there in space. So now, am I the knower of here and there, or am I travel from here to there? Being the knower of here and there, the knower of here and there does not travel from here to there. It is the body which travels from here to there. As the body travels from here to there, the knower of body, who is also the knower of here and there, assumes this travel upon himself. That is Adhyasa. This point is a bit difficult to appreciate, I tell you. Because I tell you how. You say here. Now this here, where is this here? In the consciousness. Here is in the consciousness. And while here is in the consciousness, at the same time, there is also in the same consciousness. Here and there, both are in the same consciousness at the same time. Therefore, the consciousness has pervaded the here and there all the time. It pervades the here and there all the time. Suppose you just tell me, if I am the body, I travel from here to there. Suppose I am not the body. Do I witness the traveling of the body from here to there and also simultaneously witness here and there all the time? Or do I travel from here to there? What do you see? Therefore, there is a horrible adhyasa in our life. There is adhyasa. Then, you see, there is an event. Now it happened. And in the flow of time, there is another event. And now, I am the witness of the events which happen successively in the flow of time. But I take myself to be the flowing along with time. You see, I tell you, if I am in space, I will not know space. If I am an integral part of time, if I am in time, then I cannot know time. You see, what you know, you pervade, and you become the vyapaka. And what is known is vyapya. This vyapya vyapaka bhava, the relationship should be understood. So, you see, I see the part. Means, the awareness of the seer, it pervades the part and brings it to light. I see the part. I see the space. I see the time. Suppose if I am the time, then I cannot see time. If I am the space, I cannot see space. If I am the part, I cannot see part. Right? Therefore, I am the witness of time. Being the witness of time, how is it that I take that I am born and I am going to die? How is it that I take like that? They are not the properties of Atma. They are properties of the body. Therefore, being the sakshi for kala, the events are attributed to Atma. Events are associated with kala, time, janma and marana, the birth and death, which are events in time, they are imputed to Atma. And then, being sakshi to the body, the properties or attributes of the body are always superimposed upon Atma. Then, I tell you, where is dukkha experienced? Dukkha means pain is, suffering is experienced in the mind. Pleasure is also experienced in the mind. I tell you, if I am the mind, then I will not know what is pleasure or what is pain. If I am the mind, there is no question of knowing pleasure or mind. Because, you see, I cannot see itself. Eyes cannot see themselves. Eyes can see only that which is outside the eyes. So eyes cannot see themselves. So mind cannot contemplate upon itself. I mean, in the mind there are levels, but if there is a thing in the mind, suppose mind is cheerful, if it is the mind which is cheerful, then that mind cannot know itself as being cheerful. It cannot know the cheer. But there is the knowledge of cheer. That means it is the sakshi who knows the mind all the time. And therefore, all modifications that happen in the mind, they come to light. They are experienced. So, they are understood, they are cognized. Because I am not the mind. But what happens in our life? All the attributes of the mind are taken to be Atma's attributes. Then I tell you one more thing. Do you take Ghataha Asti or not? What is? You take it or not? You take it like that. Ghataha Asti. When you say what is, that isness, it is taken to be the attribute of what. Right? But is the easiness attribute of part? Suppose you say necklace is, that easiness, is it the attribute of necklace or is it the attribute of gold? It is the attribute of gold. Instead of saying gold is in the form of necklace, you say necklace is. Therefore the easiness of gold is attributed to necklace. Right? Now, come to Ghataha Asti. Ghataha Asti, when you say pot is, what is this pot? What is clay. But instead of, you conveniently forget the clay, and you say pot is. So what is pot? I tell you what is pot. Suppose, the spatial configuration is just kept aside. You don't take the spatial configuration into account. Then do you have a part? There is no part. What is. But to say what is, the spatial configuration of the clay, that is what you take it as part. Suppose I take a ball of clay, wet ball of clay. Now I ask you, do you say what is? You say no. Is this the pot? No, you will say. No, it is not pot. But suppose I take that wet clay and just rearrange it in such a way that it acquires a shape now and tell and ask you. Now you tell me what is it. You say, it is the pot. Therefore, earlier you say pot is not. Now you say pot is. What is this pot? What has it that newly what has come? Newly what is the thing that has come there? Newly nothing has come. Earlier clay and space were there. Now again clay and space were there. Now space are there. It is only the samsthana, as Shankara says in Gatavashyam, it is the samsthana. It is samsthana means organization or arrangement. Or the structure of the clay which has changed. The structure always happens in space. So earlier, the clay had one kind of a structure in space, and now in the same space, it has a different kind of a structure. Now the structure is what you cognize, what you see with the mind. Mind is form. So the part is when you say, the pot shape is, and the pot shape is what you cognize in the mind. Outside there is space and clay. Outside you cannot say anything other than space and clay, there is no other thing. It is the mind which cognizes a shape. And therefore the shape is in the mind. Because you see, the pot must be loaded onto the mental space. Then only there is a cognition called a pot. Therefore, the part shape is in the mind, and the part time is in the mind. The space and time are mental categories, so they are in the mind. Therefore, it is the mind which synthesizes the knowledge of part. It takes the sense perception and adds the space-time categories to this sense perception and manufactures the knowledge of part. Therefore, when you say pot is, it is your own being that is imputed to the pot. That's why in meditation, if you just say I am and examine I am and I is are one and the same, and then examine pot is and see whether there is any difference between the two, between I is and pot is there a difference between the two other than the name and form? Is there a fundamental difference between the two? So when you say pot is, that isness is derived from the Atma, and the isness of the Atma is imputed to the pot. And so when you say pot is, the jagat is, world is, so who says the world is? The world comes and says that I am? No, you say the world is. You lend your isness to the world and make the world stand as though it is existing. Therefore, the Vishaya appears. You cannot say Vishaya is, it appears. Whereas Vishayi, Atma, is always is. Now, what happened in our life? We are not sure whether Atma is there or not. And we are sure that object is. Therefore, what is doubted whether it is there or not. And what is not, but which only appears, it is really not, it only appears, that is taken as is. There cannot be any worse adhyasa than this, between Vishaya and Vishayi. And therefore, adhyasa is there in people's life. Then I will tell you another adhyasa. You see, happiness. Happiness is there. This happiness, what is the locus of this happiness? Happiness, we assume that happiness belongs to the objects of the world. Right? So happiness, it belongs to the objects of the world. We take it like that. And therefore, we procure the objects. And we assume that whatever happiness we are getting it in life, that is coming to us from the objects of the world. World gives us happiness. We take it like that. Okay, world gives me happiness. But essentially, what is my essential nature? Aham dukhi. I am a sad person. I am an unhappy person. Okay, if you are an unhappy person, where is happiness? Happiness is in the marketplace. Now, is this not adhyasa? Dukkha is the property of the marketplace. Ananda or happiness is the property of the Atma. And we just reverse. It is anyonyasmin, ikaryatara bhava, it is there. How do you say adhyasa is not there? There is adhyasa. So, tathapi, anyonyasmin anyonyatmakatam anyonyadharmaushya adhyasya. So there is adhyasa between Atma and Anatma. And there is that adhyasa happens because of itaretara aviveka. There is atmanatma aviveka. Total lack of discrimination between the Atma and Anatma. So, see, he accepts, Shankara accepts the contention of the Paramapakshi. Atyanta vivittayoho dharma dharminoho so mithuni krutya. There is a mix-up. Mithuni karanam means you take two things and mix up. That is called mithuni karanam. There is mithuni karana. So, you see, dharma, atyanta vivittayoho dharma dharminoho. You see, dharmi sattu. Atma dharmi. Dharmi means one which has attributes. Dharma means attribute. So now Atma has attributes. What are its attributes? Chaitanya, awareness, happiness, being. These are the Satchidananda. That is Atma and its attributes. Then Anatma is the body, etc., worldly objects, etc. They are Anatma. That is also Dharmi. So Dharma Dharminoha means between two Dharmis there is Adhyasa. Between their dharmas there is adhyasa. That we have to understand. It's not that dharma and dharmi are there is adhyasa. It's not like that. సో ధర్మ ధర్మినోహ, బిట్వీన్ ధర్మాస్తేని సధ్యాత, బిట్వీన్ ధర్మీ సధ్యాత ఇస్ దేర్. ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ యాజ్ ది పూర్వపక్షి రైట్లీ సెడ్, దే ఆర్ అత్యంత వివిక్తయో, దే ఆర్ ఇండీడ్ మ్యూచువల్లీ ఎక్స్క్లూజివ్. వివిక్త మీన్స్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో రీజన్ టు మిక్సప్ వన్ విత్ ది అదర్, బట్ స్టిల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్. సో అత్యంత ధర్మధర్మినోహ, దట్ మీన్స్ ది ఎట్రిబ్యూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ అండ్ ది ఎట్రిబ్యూట్స్ ఆఫ్ అనాత్మ ఆర్ మ్యూచువల్ ఎక్స్క్లూజివ్, ఆత్మ అండ్ అనాత్మ ఆర్ మ్యూచువల్ ఎక్స్క్లూజివ్. యట్ మిథునీకృత్య దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ మిక్సప్, వీఆర్ కంబైనింగ్ ది టూ అండ్ వీఆర్ కన్ఫ్యూజింగ్ ది టూ, మిక్సింగ్ అప్ ది టూ కాగ్నిటివ్లీ. దెన్ దిస్ ఇన్ దిస్ మిథునీకరణం యూ షుడ్ నాట్ టేక్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ద సత్య సత్య మిథునీకరణం, సత్యానుభూతే మిథునీకృత్య. సపోజ్ యూ టేక్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ఎ మిక్సప్ ఆర్ ఎ కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ ఆత్మ అండ్ అనాత్మ, దెర్ ఈస్ కన్ఫ్యూషన్. సాంఖ్యాస్ సే లైక్ దట్, సాంఖ్యాస్ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ, దెర్ ఈస్ కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ ఆత్మ అండ్ అనాత్మ, బట్ ఆత్మ ఇస్ సత్యం, అనాత్మ ఇస్ సత్యం, బిట్వీన్ టూ సత్యాస్ దెర్ ఈస్ కన్ఫ్యూషన్. And elimination of this confusion leads to moksha. This is Sankhya Siddhanta. They are dualists. And then there is a Bauddha Siddhanta, Shunyavada. For them it is asatya, asatya mithunikaram. Deha is asatyam, it is unreal, and Atma is unreal. Shunyavada, you know, Atma is unreal. So between the unreal Atma and the unreal Deha, there is confusion. Because of which? There is a samsara and there is bondage. That is what they say. Whereas for Vedantins, it is satyanuruta mithunikaranam. The mix-up of the real, which is Atma, with the unreal, that is anatma. This is the mix-up of the real with the unreal. That is, you see, suppose it is very practical. I am, that is real. It is a primary fact. I am and everything else comes later. First I am. Then there comes the mind, then comes the body, then comes the world. Everything else comes later. But now there is a thought. What is this thought? Thought is a movement in the awareness. In the background of awareness, thought is a movement. And as movement, it is nothing more than an appearance. It is not a thing. It is an appearance and it is a movement. Whereas I am is the primary fact. It is the being. It is the thing. But what happens now? I take the thought to be my thought, that is samsargadhyata, I will come to it. Then I take the thought to be myself. Then if the thought is in the form of a desire, I take myself to be the desirer. That is a total identification with the thought. Therefore, thought is a movement, a phenomenon, an unreal, it's an appearance, and I am is the primary fact, which is the being. There is a mixture between the two. That is the satyanuruta mithunikaranam. That kind of a satyanuruta mithunikaranam is there in life. And this satyanuruta mithunikaranam, what is the cause of it? There is a cause. You see, the mix-up adhyasa is the effect, karya. And there is a cause for it. What is that cause? Mithyajnana nimitta. Nimitta means it is caused by mithyajnana. This mithyajnana, the word mithyajnana is interpreted in two ways. The tikakaras, they look at it in two ways. What is the cause of mix-up? What is the cause of adhyasa? Ajnana is the cause. Therefore, it is mithya ajnana nimitta. This is how Ratana Prabhakara looks at it. It is the ajnana which is the cause. Jnana cannot be the cause. It is ajnana which is the cause. So, mithya ajnana nimitta. Then if ajnana is the cause, simply say ajnana nimitta. Why mithya ajnana nimitta and then do savarna dirgha sandhi? A disappears and now you have to take out the A from that situation. Why that? Because suppose you say ajnana nimitta. So now adhyasa is an effect. It comes and goes. But ajnana is the cause and it stays. Therefore now there is atma and there is ajnana. So that kind of a situation will come. Adhyasa comes and goes, but ajnana also not real. It is anadi but santa. There's no beginning, but it will end. By jnana it will end. It will end. If ajnana is real, will it ever end? It will not end. A real thing will never end. Therefore, though it is anadi, it is beginningless, but yet it will end by jnana. Therefore, it is also not real. Therefore, mithya ajnana nimitta. So, we don't want to give a special status to ajnana. By calling it karanam to adhyasa, it is like saying jagat is there and a brahma is the jagat karanam. Therefore, brahma is real. Along with brahma, nescience is also real. There are some theories like that. Some schools of thought are there. For them, ajnanam is the truth. Ajnanam is there. Ajnanam is taken as a category, as a real category. So, tarkika, etc., they take like that. Therefore, we don't want to give a special status to adhyasa or ajnanam. Though we call it the cause of adhyasa, but still we want to say categorically that it is not unreal. Therefore, it is mithya ajnana nimitta. That is one way of looking at it. The other way is, you see, Shankara says mithya jnana. You see, the language is used like this. If you look at a thing and understand it correctly as it is called prama. If you look at a thing and understand it falsely, mistake it for something else, it is called brahma. Brahma, brahmaha. So, here it is essentially both are ma. Ma is knowledge. Ma means knowledge. Both are ma. Right kind of ma is prama. Wrong kind of ma is brahma. That is how. So it is like that. Both are jnana. Fundamentally, this is also knowing, that is also knowing. But knowing rightly, knowing wrongly. Both are knowing only. Therefore, mithya jnana nimitta. Do you know ajnana? Jnana. So, mithya jnana. It is the English, like saying in English, misconception. Right conception, wrong conception. That is a misconception. Therefore, satya jnanam, mithya jnanam. Right knowledge, wrong knowledge. That is mithya jnana. That is very obvious and very fair meaning. You take it like that. That is enough. So, mithya jnana, wrongly understanding it, artha jnana adhyasa. There is adhyasa at the level of jnana. Therefore, that mithya jnana is good enough. It need not be mithya ajnana. This is a Bhavati Kara's way of looking at it. In fact, when I was looking at Bhashya elsewhere, Shankara uses this word elsewhere also, mithya jnana. At that place, everybody interprets it as mithya jnana only. There is no ajnana in between. So, Shankara tends to use it as mithya jnana, as a wrong way of looking at the things, wrong understanding. That way he looks at it. That way he uses it elsewhere also. Therefore, you can as well take it here also that way. So it is wrong understanding, mithya jnana is the cause of superimposition. You can take it like that. So both pakshas are there. Anyway, so there is a wrong conception, a misconception about oneself and also about the objects of the world and about the body, and because of that the real Atma and the unreal mind or body, body and mind are unreal. Unreal means they appear in a time and disappear in another time. That is unreal. That itself is unreal. Anyway, body is unreal. That body is a notion. What is there is panchabhutas. Just it is our notion. We are accustomed to call it as a body and then give a glory to it, give some special status to it, and then take it to be ourselves. All this is continuing. That is a different thing. Therefore, even when there is identification with the body, it is dehadhyasa. We call it dehadhyasa. So we don't take it as real or any such thing. Therefore, so there is such an adhyasa with the body, and now he is explaining that adhyasa. Ahamedam mamedamiti naisargikoyam lokam yavaharaha. You see, the Purvapakshi says adhyasa is not logically possible. yes, it is not logically possible. It is, adhyasa is not pramana siddha, yukti siddha. Means, you cannot establish adhyasa by logic. We agree. It is not pramana siddha. Means, when you employ the means of cognition properly, adhyasa should not be there. So you cannot establish adhyasa based on the means of cognition. Pramana, either pratyaksha or anubhava. Yes, it is not pramana siddha. It is not yukti siddha. But adhyasa is anubhava siddha. It is established by our experience. So, to put it again, by logic there should be no adhyasa. By employing the means of cognition, there should be no adhyasa. But our experience shows that there is plenty of adhyasa. How? Aham idam mamedam iti. That is satyamruta mithunikaranam, he is talking. You see, earlier I explained, but still I will try one more time. Suppose you say, I see the path. Ghatajnanam happened. Now, what is the locus of Ghatajnana? The question is like this, an objective question. What is the locus of Ghatajnana? Is it Ghata or is it I? You answer the question? I. Therefore, the locus of Ghatajnana is I. And the locus of I jnana is I. Now where is this Ghata? Ghata that you have understood. Ghata which is the object of Ghata Jnana. Where is it? It is in you. Right? So, one Mahatma used to say in Harshikesh, Ghata Jnana, Ghata Desh mein paida nahi hota. Ghata Jnana, Hrudaya Desh mein paida hota hai. Like that. You got the point? So Ghata Jnana doesn't happen in the pot, in the point where pot is, the so-called pot is. Ghatajnana happens in the heart, or in the buddhi it happens, or in the eye it happens. Now, what is the locus of ghata? Where is the ghata? Wherever the ghatajnana happens, there is the ghata. Outside it is clay, whatever it is. So ghatajnana happens in the Hrudaya Desha, therefore Hrudaya Desha is the locus of Ghata. I is the locus of Ghata. Therefore, so this Ghata and I, so I am the Ghata really speaking. There is no Ghata outside of me. Ghata doesn't exist outside of me. The entire universe exists in me. I am the center of the cosmos. That is the fact of the situation. But how do I take Atma, whether it exists or not, it is never, we are never sure about it. It is all speculation for us. Atma is a speculated thing. Whereas Idam is very real. And then, this Aham, which is the primary fact, it is taken and mixed up with Idam. Aham Idam. Instead of saying that Idam doesn't exist outside of I alone is real and I am the all. Instead of saying that, you give a reality to the Idam which it doesn't have and first make it real. Imagine it to be real. Body is real. Idam, body is Idam. And therefore, you take it as real. Instead of understanding, also the correct understanding should be, there is the awareness. You wake up. What is it that arises first? The sun of awareness arises. And in that sun of awareness, as it reflects in the mind, you get the thought, I am, the primary fact, the reflection of the Atma in the mind. I am is the primary fact. And then that I am is identified with the body. The body comes to light in the wake of I am. And now this I am is the one which illuminates the body. I am is the reflection of Chidabhasa, the reflection of Chit in the Antahkarana. And in the wake of Chidabhasa, everything else gets lighted up. And that I am is identified with the body. The perceiver, I am, is identified with the perceived Idam. Aham Idam. This is Adhyasa. అహమిదం. దిస్ అహమిదం ఈజ్ అర్థాఖ్యాత, బికాస్ అహం ఈజ్ ఆత్మ, ఇదం ఈజ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ సీన్, అహం ఈజ్ సత్య, ఇదం ఈజ్ అనురుత. ఇట్ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్, ఇట్ బారోస్ ఇట్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఆత్మ, బట్ స్టిల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ టేకన్ టు బి రియల్లీ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్, దెర్ఫోర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అనురుత, ఇట్ ఈస్ మిథ్యా, ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్. సో అహం ఇజ్ ఐడెంటిఫైడ్, సత్య అహం ఈజ్ ఐడెంటిఫైడ్ విత్ ది అనురుత ఇదం, అహం ఇదం. This is artha jata. It is there in our life. Then mamedam. Mamedam means this is mine. This belongs to me or this is mine. Here, first there is adhyasa with the body, artha jata, and then whatever is connected with the body, it is taken as mine. When you say my sofa, it is the sofa that is connected with the body, you know. You first identify with the body, then procure the sofa and say, my sofa. So, the Atma is connected with the sofa via the body. Therefore, it is the sofa, whichever sofa or anything. It is like even relationship is also like that. When you say, my wife, it is the body's wife. My husband, it is the body's husband. My son, it is the body's son. My bank balance, it is the body's bank balance. That's why all the identity cards, etc., have the photograph of the body also. The body is everything is body. Atma is one. Nobody will, suppose I say Atma is one. Atma is one and one without the second. Therefore, I cannot take your salary. You cannot take my whatever I have. Therefore, it is the body's, relay all things that are there, that are called as mine, they all relate to the body, they are all connected to the body. And whatever is connected with the body is taken as though they are connected with the Atma. And the same mamedam, this is called a samsargatyata. Samsarga means getting connected. Whatever is connected with the body is by mistake connected with the Atma. So the connection with the Atma is wrong. The connection with the body is okay. So the arthajyasa leads to samsargajyasa. That mamedam. Iti lokam yavahara. This is the lokam yavahara. Lokam yavahara. Loka is manushya. Lokaha means not the world and all that. Loka, you can call it world also. Lokaha is manushya. Manushyam yavahara. So yavahara is worldly interaction. So all the worldly interaction is possible, is made possible only because of adhyasa. If there is no adhyasa, then there is no worldly interaction. You will not have worldly interaction without adhyasa. So that doesn't make a worldly interaction any glorious or any such thing. That is not the point. The point that is being made is an apparently real, I mean, we take the world interaction to be real. So, and it is there, we go through it as though it is the gospel truth, the world interaction. That kind of a situation prevails in people's lives only because of an adhyasa with reference to the body and with the things connected with the body. Ahamidam manvedamiti naisargikoyam lokam yavaharaha. Now the point is, that I am coming to that. Naisargikoyam lokam vyavahara. So this adhyasa, when did it begin? Here there is a question. The question is, you see, suppose you look at the rajju, rope, and mistake it to be sarpa, the snake. You should have the knowledge of rajju and also the knowledge of sarpa. Both knowledges must be there, both samskaras must be there. Then only an adhyasa is possible. But in this case, the knowledge of Atma is not there for the person. He doesn't know what is Atma. He is an ajnani. And of course, body is experienced. Therefore, in the absence of the knowledge of one of the things, how adhyasa is possible? So that kind of a question is there. So in fact, the Adhyasa definition, when I take up in the next class, I will put all these things on a firm pedestal. Now, within the existing time, really, we cannot establish everything now in this class. Tomorrow we will do that. You see, the point is like this. I have known Rajju, rope, and also I have known earlier the snake. Now, this earlier knowledge is the foundation, as the basis for the present mistake. Without the earlier knowledge of both, there cannot be any mistake in the present. Now there is adhyasa now. So what is the basis for this adhyasa? When this adhyasa started? For example, Rajju Sarpa Bhranti, where is the foundation of this Rajju Sarpa Bhranti? You can work it backwards and say, this person came to know of rope at this age, and came to know of snake at this age, and so these samskaras are imprinted in his mind, and so in a given situation, those samskaras caused this mistake. So like that you can work it out. Now you work out this ahamidam adhyasa. How do you work out? So you have to say, when I wake up today morning, I woke up with the adhyasa, ahamidam. I am this body. With that adhyasa I woke up. That means the basis, that means this adhyasa, when did it happen? Did it happen today morning freshly for the first time? It cannot. It cannot happen. So then you should say, this adhyasa is not something newly happened today morning. It is not so. It was there when I slept yesterday night. The same adhyasa has surfaced today morning. But yesterday night, where was it? That means it was there yesterday morning and it continued to yesterday night. And yesterday morning, where from it has come? It has come from day before yesterday's experience of life. So like that, if you work out, then you have to take it to the earlier birth also. And from there you have to take it to the earlier birth. Because suppose there were to be no adhyasa in the earlier birth, then there would not have been this birth. You would have become one with the Brahman, and so the rebirth would not have been there. Because Atmajnanam, it eliminates the possibility of a nucleus. Because there is a nucleus only by adhyasa. And if adhyasa is not there, there is no nucleus to come back. And therefore there would not have been a birth. So the birth happened shows that this adhyasa is coming from the earlier birth. That means by birth there is adhyasa. It is coming in life from birth. It is coming from earlier birth. This is a pravaha, naisargikaha, means a janma marana pravaha. The flow of the events of life and death, they are continuously happening, and therefore the adhyasa is coming. And so it has arrived up to this point. Naisargikoyam lokam yavaharaha. You see, we talk so much of adhyasa. Is it possible to eliminate adhyasa? Because if it is not possible to eliminate adhyasa, then the question of moksha is not there at all. Though we discuss so much of this adhyasa, it is indeed possible to get rid of this adhyasa. I tell you how. Suppose, you see, there is an adhyasa with a name. Namadhyasa is there. Means the person takes himself to be the name and the name to be himself. A kind of identity between the name and the self, that kind of a thing is taken. Now this person, for some reason, he believes that his name is something wrong and he has to change his name. In sannyasa, the name is changed. And when people convert from one religion to the other, the name is changed. And then sometimes the earlier name, the guru gives a new name. When they do mantra diksha, etc., they give a new name. And the person is now, he is not a sannyasi or anything, but he adopts the new name and the old name is gone. So, you see, you are identified with a name. Now you are done with that identification. Is it possible or not? It is possible. Okay, you assume a new identification, that is different. But the old identification, you have overcome or not? You could overcome. And I tell you, with Viveka, it is possible not to identify with the name. It is possible. So, suppose I am sitting here. So, if you call me by my name, I will answer, I will respond to the call. You call my name, I will respond. But that doesn't mean that I have identified with my name. I need not identify also. Possible. It is possible. That kind of a freedom could always be there. Therefore, because what happens is, people give so much importance to the name, to the family name, etc. Sometimes the family name, the gotra, they identify with it. And that identification limits the person. Any definition limits the person. That kind of an identification is there. Now it is possible to overcome that identification. That one more example I will give. Suppose a person in an Indian context, a person takes himself to be, say, Kshatriya. I belong to Kshatriya caste. Kshatriya is a caste. There is no ruling class or any such thing. Now that kind of thing is not there. Just a caste is there. Kshatriya caste. Now, this person, he believes himself to be a Kshatriya. He carries that notion that I am a Kshatriya, I am a Kshatriya. That notion he carries. Then slowly, he develops a different identity. Namely, you see, I am a Hindu. That identity he develops. So, in developing the identity of Hindu from the identity of Kshatriya, he has expanded his mind. Now, this expansion, it can take place. With a little samskara, with a little training, it can take place. So, to become Hindu, for a Kshatriya to become Hindu, how difficult it is, you tell me. Is it such an impossible task? How much struggle he has to go through? Just it's only just adjusting the identification, adjusting the thinking process. So instead of identifying with a particular caste, just you grow out of it, and you may identify with a higher thing. Just I am giving example, but you could overcome that identification. That is, that jhasa could be overcome. Now here is a Hindu. Now he comes to United Nations or he comes to some other country, and then he expands his vision. So suppose the person is, I am a Hindu, or I generally give a Dutch man, like that I give, so that you can avoid all kinds of controversies or imaginations you can overcome. So that's why I give Dutch man example. Now, not only today I gave Dutch man, I always give Dutch man only. So a person, he believes that I am a Dutch man, I am pakka Dutch man, I am not German. I am Dutchman. He is believing like that, suppose. Now, for that person, to drop that particular identity, he continues to be a Dutch citizen or he may have a Dutch passport, etc. But in a different context, in a bigger context, he can expand his vision and now he can say, I am a human being. How difficult it is? Is it such an impossible task? I am a human being? It is not impossible. So, here the point is that you can overcome an identity, that is the point. I am bringing another identity just to make this overcoming the earlier identity possible. Suppose, I am a human being. From that identity, suppose you have to take yourself as a living being. Because you see, I am a human being identity, aham manushyaha, it is an adhyasa. I am a biped. Whereas an animal is a quadruped. It is only the number of legs that count is the only difference. Otherwise, as living beings, so I can feel sympathetic or very compassionate towards an animal. As living, that compassion, that love, suppose I for no reason, I love animals. Because it is one life everywhere. So, in feeling that oneness with the life, all life forms, there is an elevation from the identity with a particular form. So, I am a human being, it's an identification with a particular form. unless you raise above that, you cannot identify with all life. So I am a living being is a new identification. Sure, there is no doubt about it, but the earlier identification could be overcome. It doesn't require any special, you need not perform any special ritual or any such thing to overcome a particular identification. And ultimately, instead of identifying with living beings, suppose you say, I am a being. That is the ultimate. I am what I am. Or simply say, I am. There, you are identifying with the being. There is no adhyasa there. That is the truth. So, to overcome a particular identification with living beings, thereby excluding all non-living beings from the sense of self, you are excluding everything else. Non-living is excluded. So on the other hand, if you identify yourself or if you feel yourself as the being, then slowly you will come to know that all being is included in you. Therefore, it is possible to overcome adhyasa. It is not such an impossible task. We have to pay close attention to the misconception, to the lack of discrimination in our life. And so we have to work on it, and we have to get rid of adhyasa. So, any of this vichara, this discussion about adhyasa, threadbare discussion, we discuss it in all its details, in all its ramifications, we discuss it. It really helps in overcoming adhyasa. We'll continue tomorrow. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिः 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 हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु अरे टेन् टुमारो 10 to 1 इट् ए ब्रेक् फालोड् बै लञ्च् नौ देर् इस् डिन्नर्
ఓం.